Welcome to Entrepreneurs of Playbook. I'm David Meltzer, and I'm blessed. I'm blessed to have the three leading golf executives or lifestyle brand, luxury brand executives on the Playbook over 13 years and 2,600 episodes. I finally completed the Mount Rushmore of luxury brands. Scott Mahoney, chairman and CEO of Peter Millar. Welcome to Entrepreneurs of Playbook.
Yeah, thank you, David. Thrilled to be on. So
great to have you. Well, you know, luxury brands are difficult because you have to deal with so many different types of distribution, especially retail. And high-end retail is extremely challenging to continue to provide the quality that's necessary to be on those shelves, a culture that makes people feel the brand. There has to have been some secrets along the way, some mistakes or lessons that you've learned. What's one of the things that has allowed you to sustainably grow and scale a luxury brand without ever sacrificing the quality of the Peter Millar product?
Yeah, David, we set out a while ago to kind of try to build, you know, the world lifestyle word lifestyles overused a bit, but We set out to build a brand that can actually dress a person like you, you know, every day of the week. You know, we want you when you're going to the office. We want you when you're going to the cocktail party. You're going to a board meeting. You're going to your kid's soccer game. And you know, we've really built a design team that constantly innovates and meets these product needs. But it was never we never set out to say we want to be a you know, a $10 million company or $100 million company or $1 billion company. We kind of let everything find its own watermark. And by doing that, you make decisions that are right. And I think our product has led us to where we are today. And it's really due to an incredible product team.
Yeah, they do such a great job with design, with, of course, fabrics. Just an amazing, you feel so good in a Peter Millar apparel. But, you know, you were always known to me as kind of the work uniform in my genre, you know, running the most notable sports agency, even being chairman of Napoleon Hill Institute. It's like, yeah, this is the higher end work uniform. People know it's elegant. They know, but I always considered it my travel uniform because not everybody probably knows, not only does it look like $1 million when you wear that stuff and it makes you look so good, but if you travel like I do 200 cities a year, it looks as good getting on the plane as off the plane, even on a red eye. In this genre, you know, how important is that design and fabric? Because I think that's really what I have found set you apart from every one of the competitors out there.
You know, our team travels the world, and you know, it's really the advent of performance wear. You know, back in the old days, you know, I've been in the apparel business for I don't know 40 years or so, and you know, it used to be people would say, "Oh, microfiber," you know, polyester pants, and no one wanted to wear the old Sansa belt. Performance products have come so far. I mean, it just you know, you wear it, you sport coats, suits. Even performance dress shirts, you know, it's like you said, you could travel in them. They don't wrinkle. You can wash when you need to. But, you know, like we're about to launch this whole Pursuit collection, which will be coming out this fall. And it's really built around a lifestyle. So it's, you know, there's suits in there. It's everything you can wear, but with a little bit of a modern edge, but keeping our classic traditional look. And so, again, I think our guys have done just an amazing job of finding the finest fabrics. You know, natural fibers are not dead by any means. Like we still sell a lot of cotton, cashmere, et cetera. But this performance world is hugely important. And you know, just one other note along these lines, you know, I think the casualization of our, really the way that we all dress kind of during COVID, you know, it used to be 5 days a week, there was no remote, and COVID kind of changed that. And, You know, and so people became a little more casual, but then the work, you know, the workplace became less dressy. You know, I worked in New York back, you know, 15, 20 years ago. You know, I wore a suit with French, you know, French cuffs every day, you know, cufflinks. And, you know, no one does that now. You know, they talk about the finance bros with the Navy, you know, vests, which we supply many of. But like, that's where the world has come. And we kind of really played right into the way that we want people to dress and the lifestyle that we exude. So pretty interesting times.
One of the other interesting things with several brands, but the transition from being known as a golf brand, you're in over 1,200 golf clubs. And I think when people visit the most prestigious clubs, at least one of them, the Peter Millar stuff stands out. You end up with your collectible gear, your apparel from your company, but then it leads to all the other stuff. And was it difficult to brand yourself outside of just golf?
You know, what's been great for us is golf is a fantastic foundation for what we do. You know, where people, you know, we just finished the U.S. Open at Shinnecock, and you know, we're the, you know, partner, the apparel partner for the USGA, which, you know, hosts the U.S. Open. You know, you get people going through these venues and the amount of product that they buy is just mind-boggling. You know, so that alerts people to the product. But then you can go to great specialty stores where, you know, they carry the breadth of our products. You go to Nordstrom, you go to a Bloomingdale's. And I would say, you know, we have 23, about to be 26 retail stores. I think the retail stores, you know, when we did those, you know, we really did it to be a window for like the product, like kind of what I'm wearing, sport coats, dress shirts, you know, and it shows another avenue of what we do. So whether it's through our retail stores or e-commerce, it kind of is given people the view to outside of golf. And, you know, and that constantly changes. And, you know, when we did these stores, you know, a lot of people will say, you know, and this is an interesting fact. I mean, they'll say, oh, retail stores are, you know, that's a marketing expense. You know, no, we don't make money in our retail stores, but, you know, they show the windows to your brand. You know, every retail store we have makes money. You know, we're in fabulous locations. But again, I think if you go into one of our stores, the service, you know, you get the Southern hospitality, whether it's in New York City or some of these other, you know, Chicago, you know, where it's kind of a bit of a different attitude. And the stores have been just a tremendous opportunity for us to kind of show the breadth of our brand.
You know, what's interesting is I've studied so many different companies that if we look back 100 years ago, the same character or characteristics are true about the successful companies today as were before. The technologies change, things happen faster, but the character and the culture from, you know, never sacrificing quality, customer first business, adding value to people's lives and never cutting corners, you know, that's the character of your company, which is what made companies 100 years ago successful. But today, the difference is with all the culture outside of your company, how do you carry forward the culture with all of your people as you've grown so big? It seems that from the stores to your corporate side to the golf side, that everybody has that same attitude and training of those values that built your company.
You know, so we sold our business to Richemont several years back, and what was interesting when Richemont bought us, you know, they're Van Cleef, Cartier, et cetera, just fabulous brands. You know, the way that they operate their businesses, they don't. It's not about driving more margin or more profit. You know, Johann Rupert, you know, said when we did this, he said, "Look, the only thing I want is the brand to just get better, you know, make things better, you know." And when you have that mindset and people aren't trying to cut corners, it allows people to be successful, to be thoughtful about products and quality, uniqueness. You know, when you do that, you know, generally money will follow. The growth comes. People accept what you do. They understand and appreciate the quality and value of what you're delivering. And, that mindset, I think, really is instilled in everybody. We kind of take a little bit of an approach of, just do things a little better every day. And it's like, compounding, the power of compounding. Everyone talks about compounding money, but, you do things a little better every day. If everyone has that mindset, it allows the team, you don't have to make huge strides. You just pay attention. You do the little things and you don't cut corners. And I think, our entire company thinks that way and believes it. And, I think that's a bit of the difference in what Peter Millar does.
I always see the consistency in behaviors will accelerate the business model, aggregate the customers, and compound the results, and just getting a little better, but doing it every day and consistently, which you've been able to do. Now, one of the things I like about your type of business is it was the originator of collaborations. Because of the golf clubs, you were actually in the origin of collaboration. You would see the Old Course or Pebble Beach or Shinnecock, whatever it was, on a Peter Millar gear. But now you're even venturing into some of the biggest licenses in the world. And one of those, which I represented for years with Lee and Warren Moon, is the NFL itself. And it's a very strong partnership, but it's complex. A lot of people may not know the mitigation of risk that's involved in dealing with the NFL and the Shield. Can you give us some background on why you decided to partner up with an NFL license for your brand's next chapter?
We started doing that. We saw such an opportunity, and it really started with the collegiate business. These alumni that these schools, we'd hear from people, whether it was, our kids' friends or whatever, the parents, and there wasn't anything good. They'd go into a bookstore and it'd be, kind of a crappy t-shirt or a sweatshirt or something. And, and folks want to wear like a beautiful cashmere sweater or merino sweater or a great golf shirt with the school logo. And then, that kind of morphed into baseball, and, which we've had great success there. And then, the NFL is just so powerful, as you know. I mean, it just, I saw something recently on the World Cup ratings. They were, the, It rival they said the USA Belgium game rivaled an NFL game. Think about that. Like, that's World Cup, rivaling that and the power of the NFL and these teams. And so, when we got that license, it just, is a great partnership. They're an incredible group to work with. And we've been, we kind of launched really late. We launched in December and we're blown away by the results. And now that we have a full season of preparing, I think we're going to see that business really explode.
Yeah, I think it's a wise decision. And that community not only buys from Peter Millar, but it'll sell for you as well, which I think a lot of people that don't understand the value of, the league and the Shield, they forget about how much they promote that community, sells for the companies that they enjoy the most. And really been a benefit to my career to understand how that works. Just to finish up, you're coming into the later years of your career. I get this myself, when are you going to retire? What's next? I believe in repurposing, not retiring. They're gonna have to kick me out before I do anything. I was curious your philosophy of retirement or repurposement as you're the chairman and CEO of Peter Millar.
Yeah, that is an interesting question, and people ask it. I'm not sure that I should whether I should be offended or not, but we've got such a great group of people. And we've nurtured this incredible team, and at some point, it will be time to kind of step aside and let people do it. I what I've enjoyed the most is seeing the success of the company and the success of the people. And, I'd like to be involved for as long as the team will let me hang around a bit, but, probably in a much lesser role. To be an advisor to make sure that we stay in the rails, and, it's it's funny. You still, David, I don't know how long, how old you are, but like, you know, I've been in this apparel business. Really, I sold clothes in college. Yeah, I've been in, you know, in one form or fashion in this thing for about 40 years. And you get to see what it takes to do well and to help guide a brand. And I think that's very fulfilling for me. I mean, I have a wonderful family. You know, I love spending time with them. I got a grandkid coming in, the first one in the next month. But I love work. I mean, I literally, you know, I think when I don't want to go to, when I'm not excited to wake up and get on the phone with someone, I some of these poor people I work with, I'll call at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I know the ones that'll pick up. And, but it's, I still have that same passion and drive for what we do. And it's part of, it becomes a little bit of your life, you know, how it goes. And, you know, I think my wife would go crazy if I was around here a lot. So I don't know, in some form or fashion, I'm going to stick with this thing for a while longer.
I think that's a great idea. And I always enjoy someone that gets to do what they want, when they want, with who they want, for as long as they want. And it seems as both of us have been blessed with that type of freedom as we celebrate our country's freedom as well. It's such a joy and an honor to be with the chairman and CEO of Peter Millar. Scott Mahoney is building a culture, reminding us that people don't work for companies anymore. They work for cultures. A customer-first business that never sacrifices quality. If you haven't or aren't familiar with Peter Millar, they're everywhere. Just go ahead, use whatever engine it is you find shit at. You will find Peter Millar. I'm blessed to be here. I'm David Meltzer with the amazing Scott Mahoney here on Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.